fighting for America.
With sincere appreciation to Kevin Miller for your extraordinary efforts to help the Boise Rescue Mission with Miller's Mission. You're the hero for all of us in the nonprofit world, but particularly for the Boise Rescue Mission.
Fighting for Idaho.
What you do is not just highlight giving for a one moment in time, but you stress to make giving part of your life.
Fighting for you.
You'll never know, Kevin, how much I love you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Once again, Miller's Mission. We need your turkeys here at the Walmart Garrity in Franklin. So many people coming by. We do appreciate it. Joining us now from the Lighthouse Rescue Mission is Sergio. Sergio, you've been in this area all your life. Good morning.
I've been here since 1976. Good morning, Kevin.
Good. Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. This time of year, what goes on in your mind?
My mind is going on, like, there's a lot of homeless people, a lot of people struggling with hunger and poverty. And it really worries me. I have a safe roof over my head and food to eat, so it worries me about others.
Let's talk a little bit about your journey. Right now you're doing very well. Has that always been the case?
No, that hasn't always been the case. I grew up here in Nampa, and I struggled with drugs most of my life.
In Nampa, really?
In Nampa, yes. Sad to say, I probably had a lot to do with some of the way the drug culture is in this area, and I'm doing what I can to make amends for that.
Well, what for those of us that live in our Pollyanna worlds, what is the drug culture like that you fell victim to?
I fell victim to a lot of the trafficking, and I was a big part of that in my younger years. I didn't really consider what was going on. I just thought it was a lifestyle that was okay.
What was the cycle life of getting high, consuming, of selling? Tell us about that.
It started off with consuming, and then started seeing the false lie of being able to make money and get my high for free.
Was it significant, the money?
It was. I can make up to $1,000 to $2,000 a day.
Selling drugs.
But at the same time, I could also lose that much.
Right.
Of my own, out of my own pocket, and be in debt.
And was it dangerous?
It was. When you start getting in debt, people start looking for you.
In Nampa, Idaho. The drug situation is that significant.
It's developing into that, yes.
Okay, we're not trying to beat up on Nampa. We're just trying to tell it like it is.
Well, you know, now that I'm in recovery, I see Nampa from a whole different angle.
When you see the gift giving, what do you think?
Man, it does my heart good. Just to know that the community is involved and giving, that they really care about people like us that are struggling and trying to get our lives in order, it does my heart good.
Now, you were talking about your addiction to the drugs. Now, tell us a little bit about your conversion. What made you change?
The birth of my daughter. I had a daughter that was born on the same day, 15 years later, as my son who passed away. And that made me realize that there is a God. I could not have planned it. To the day, 15 years, is just a miracle. And that made me realize that I needed to change my life.
So you went to the mission?
No, I started recovery. I got into 4 years of recovery. And after 4 years of recovery, I still relapsed. And it took me 2 years to get back into recovery. And when it's been almost a year ago that I got to the mission. And I've just been working on myself and trying to get things back in order, get my life on track.
What are you doing now?
Right now I'm getting ready to go to phase four and just about completed the program. I'm getting ready to go to school in January or June, depending on my student loans and stuff. But, I'm looking forward to the future and just staying on track and living a different life.
What do you want to say to people listening right now at 580KIDO that are listening to you and they're shocked about the drug situation, about making the big money and the dangers right here in Nampa?
The biggest thing about the drug thing is we as adults make our choices, but the ones that are greatly affected are the kids. There's a lot of kids suffering out there with homelessness and poverty and hunger just because of this drug issue. And, you know, if you know anybody that's an addict, help them get into recovery, encourage them, and just continue to support them in that in their walk in that way.
Well, Sergio, thank you for sharing.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thank you for having me on the show.
Joining us now, Donnie is with us from the Lighthouse Rescue Mission. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Sorry it took so long to get to you.
It's okay.
Talk a little bit about your life, your experience, and what's going on with you with the Lighthouse.
Well, my experience, I served in the U.S. Navy for over 18 years. And come upon my discharge, I came up to Boise for the VA. And in between, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I had problems with my addiction. And I was arrested and under certain circumstances, and I needed help. So the Boise Rescue Mission was there, and I looked them up, and so far, you know, everything's changed. It's a big, big change in my life, and everything's good.
How'd you go from serving your country, though, to getting into trouble? It's quite a contrast, you know.
Yes, I was constantly drinking. I was in my addiction, and I didn't know what I was doing. I lost it.
Right.
I was total despair. I just know what to do.
Now, where are you now?
I'm sober. I've been sober now 2 years and 20 days now going. I count every day. By the grace of God, you know, if it wasn't for him, you know, I follow the man. You know, I do follow him. I'm still wrestling with him, you know, but I like the rewards and what comes the further I believe in him every day. Something good happens. It's a feeling. It's hard to explain, but it feels good. It's just being sober. I feel free. Really, that's what it is. It's a freedom, and these guys help me. I mean, I don't know how else to explain that.
Indeed.
It's something deep. It's like I have a purpose. I don't know what it is. I'm not in a hurry to chase it. I got to be patient.
Right. That's a great feeling to have. Anything else that you'd like to share with people right now? Okay, dead air kills us, brother.
I know. support the veterans. I mean, help them out.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not sure what else to say.
All right, Donnie, thank you very much.
God bless everybody.
God bless you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Joining us now from the Boise Rescue Mission, our friend Tara. Tara, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So you work with these folks each and every day that benefit by the generous donations of people here in the Treasure Valley. And specifically, you work with the kids. Mm-hmm. Many people, their biggest fear is, you know, being without an income, being without a home, and then, you know, adding that the challenge of taking care of their kids. Tell us a little bit about what y'all do for the kids.
So we have a summer program that we have for the kids to keep them off the streets. And not only that, but we also have events that for them where we take them to Winco and show them what it's like to work at Winco. We do lessons during the day to help them read, to do math. It's just a great event. We also have after-school program where we help them do their homework, and we have a lot of volunteers that help us out on that. It's just awesome.
What's it like for you to work with the kids, though?
I love it. Like, just to see the kids every single day and to build relationships with them and to invest in their lives is just a treat every single day.
What have some of the kids been through?
They've been through abused families. They've been through homelessness. They've anything. It's just awful to see the types of lives that they've been through. But to have City Light for them is just a great treat.
What brought you to the ministry?
Quite honestly, I feel like God called me to it. I had no idea 5 years before this that I'd be working with children who have been in the homeless life. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Many people will never visit City Light or the Valley Women's and Children's Shelter here. But what's life like for those kids? You know, everybody remembers being a kid, and some people have to overcome difficulties that they've had as children. What's that like for them? What will the holidays be like for them?
They experience a Thanksgiving dinner with strangers that or maybe just people that they've spent life with at, in the homeless shelter. But that is their family. Their family is the homeless shelter, and also the women and children that also stay with them at City Light.
So it's a big group home, if you will.
Yes.
All right. Anything else you'd like to share with us here at 580 KIDO?
I just want to thank you, Kevin, for doing this for us. It's just, it's so great that you're doing this and receiving turkeys for the homeless shelters.
Well, Terry, you're quite welcome. But let me say this, and I've said this to everybody else, that you folks that do what you do to be called by God to do the works of Christ, to deal with all the insane idiosyncrasies of and egos of the folks in the media is truly what a blessing. So you guys are the heroes. And what you do outside the limelight is amazing, and it's our blessing to be a part of it. So thank you.
No problem, Kevin.
All right. Now, please go get warm. Joining us now from the Boise Rescue Mission, our great friend Flora. Good morning, Flora. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. I'm good.
We've been doing this for many, many years, you and I.
Yeah, we have.
Let's talk about what the donations of everyone, whether it's this time of year or throughout the year, mean to you and the folks at the Boise Rescue Mission.
Oh, wow. It's a major blessing. You know, we see so many people come in on a daily basis, whether it be hot or cold outside. And, you know, the weather doesn't matter. Everybody gets hungry. And it takes the community in order to feed everybody. So it's a major blessing.
It is a major blessing. What's it like for you to work at the Boise Rescue Mission?
Well, that's where my heart is. I came to the mission in trouble from the law. The court pointed me there, and I went through their New Life program. And now for almost 6 years, I've been able to work for them and give back. And so I can... You know, I get to help those now that was like I was. And so it's just an amazing thing.
You were very honest, very vocal at our domestic violence hearing, giving your testimony about where you've come from. And it's amazing the works that have been done at the Boise Rescue Mission, and you're a huge part of it. But you're, as you said, you're a product of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where I say my heart is because I know where some of these ladies and children are coming from. And so for me to be able to give back is, that's where my heart is.
Why should somebody donate a turkey?
Because you never know when you might be in that same position. Our lives and everything about us can change on the drop of a hat. We just never know. You know what? We've got people who come in... Older ladies who can't make their mortgage or whatever, and they become homeless for the first time. We never know when something like this might happen to us.
What are the ages?
Oh, gosh. They range from ages 18 on up to, I think we had an 87-year-old lady there one time.
Wow.
Just last year, I believe it was.
And what would happen if the mission wasn't around?
They'd be homeless living in the street. And that's just horrible. You know, every morning I wake up in this kind of weather, and first thing I thank the Lord for is that I have a warm, safe place to be. And then I start praying for those who don't.
Flora, for people that the holiday is very stressful, you know, we lose a lot of people because of suicide. We lose a lot of people because of domestic violence. You, as someone who has gone through that, what do you say to people right now that are in an unsafe situation?
Reach out. Reach out to those, because there are places out there that can help you. There are, there's places like the Boise Rescue Mission. You know, we're not perfect, but we are a safe place to come, and we do have people that can talk with you and at least pray with you and give you not a handout, but a hand up.
Flora, anything else you want to share with us today?
I just want to thank everybody for their donations, and whether it be a little thing or a big thing, I just want to thank everybody for that, because it takes literally everybody, and no donation is too small.
Well, thank you for coming in and starting the day early.
Yes,
yeah,
thank you for having me.
Take care.
All right.
Time for traffic now.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night.
Good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning here. Miller's Mission continuing. Canyon County Commissioner Craig Hansen with us. Let's talk a little bit about certainly some stuff you've been hearing about, whether it's in Ada County, Canyon County, road conditions. I know you as a commissioner are very concerned about that. And look, in fairness to y'all, it's easy to criticize, not so easy enough to implement. So tell us a little bit what's going on there, sir.
Well, you know, it's really easy for me as a Canyon County commissioner to talk about the roads because that is assigned to the four highway districts in Canyon County. The commissioners don't have anything to do with that. And it's a separate levied taxing district that's assigned to take care of those roads. And I just drive on them in my personal vehicle, by the way. Yeah, I had a gentleman that wasn't happy. He thought I should sell all the executive vehicles in Canyon County that we drive and pay for a snowplow. But since I drive my personal vehicle all the time and don't have one of those, it doesn't work too well.
Well, then now you can be honest. Your thoughts on the roads then?
Well, I grew up in Iowa originally and relate to all those snowstorms and roads. And I guess it's what it comes down to is what services we want, we got to pay for. And not knowing those highway district taxing, that money that's there, what are they doing with it? That's something that people need to ask the districts.
When we take a look at the big issues facing Canyon County, what's going on?
I think the biggest thing right now is we're looking at possible jail expansion. The commissioners
We've heard that before.
We have, and this time we've actually gotten a couple of we've gotten an idea, a plan. I've sent that through Idaho Jail Standards. Cindy Malm works for the Idaho Sheriff's Association. She said on first face look, it meets the criteria and the standards. And we've gone out to not a bid, but we've had two different companies that have just looked at the base plan and based on cost estimates said that it would be around $13.5 to $15 million to do it. And so we're just going forward with that at this point in time, trying to see, is this really what we can do? It's the best case scenario because we have the $15 million currently in the county coffer.
Sure.
Taxpayer dollars, my dollars.
Now, again, not to stir anything up, but in fairness, because the other media will ask you this, what is the relationship with the council and the sheriff on this, who has been very vocal on this station and others about his thoughts on the jail? How's that going, that relationship?
I would have to say that we had a brief talk, but haven't really done anything further on that. When we get to this point, next week we're going to be talking again with our putting together the possible contracts or the request for bid on a jail plan for some contractors to look at it and see what they say about it now, because we have to formalize the process and encourage the sheriff and his staff to come in, because you know, as you well know, I ran the jail. I do have a little bit of a background in that. And so when we go that direction, I want to work with the sheriff, with the staff, to make sure this is a properly vetted plan and everything looks good before we do it. And so I would encourage that to happen.
What do you say when you see groups like the Lighthouse, like the Valley Women and Children's Shelter in Canyon County? You've got so many others working with the government to make sure that people are fed and clothed.
Well, what I'd say with that is that it's always great any time that we can help individuals who are less fortunate than ourselves. You know, I do a lot of the benevolence that I am a part of is through my church, and then I also help assist with the Shop with a Cop.
Sure, coming up.
Where they meet, yeah, coming up in December, December the 6th, will be that that event in the Nampa area here and at Christian Faith Center. So those things are always good, but I think that what's really happening is that the government wants to take over that side of the benevolence of the people, and to the point where all of our requirements come from the government. Everything that we have comes from the government. They control all of those resources, and they determine who should get what at what point. And I don't think that's right. I think that if I give, I want it to be out of my free will and out of what I desire to do to help somebody else, not somebody telling me what I have to give them so that they can go out and do what they want to do with it.
We're going to let you off with that one, Commissioner. We appreciate you always being a trooper and coming out.
Well, thank you very much, and it's been a good day. And congratulations on your award.
Thank you. Appreciate
that,
sir.
I saw the video. You look good jogging up there.
I'm still working on that knee replacement, yes. Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. We go now to our friend Emily Wither. Emily, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, I hear you're going to be leaving us today.
I am. Today is my very last day talking to you, Kevin, from the Middle East. Maybe forever.
I know, Emily. Well, if you're ever in Idaho, you have to look us up. But, you know, you have become such a part of our program, and, you know, you do a lot of reports for everyone. But people here have really come to appreciate what you've done, and we wanted to make sure that we acknowledged your great efforts and living in that rough neighborhood and always being there for us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm also quite looking forward to getting out of here, though, and having a bit of quiet time, being closer to my friends and family, not having to report on death and destruction every day. It'll be just like the Olympics all over again.
You know, you read my mind, because I was about ready to go there on that. How much of a challenge is it, considering where you are and what you're reporting on, and you just said death and destruction, what's going on in Syria and ISIS and everything else, as a person to do it in a professional way as a journalist? Because, you know, we all have feelings and we all are impacted, but you have to be objective, you have to be professional.
Yes, and we're not robots at the end of the day, and, you know, covering these tough stories day in and day out does get pretty tiring after a while. And, I mean, I can talk at the moment about Jerusalem. It's often a tent city, but since the start of this year, it's just been a really difficult place to live. You can feel the tension so much more. There's so much racism around. There's so much anger. And it's becoming a very unpleasant place to be. I mean, during my time living here, there's been two wars, and there's been a failed peace process. And it doesn't seem as if either side are any closer to peace negotiations or bridging any of the gaps that still remain. And so this will just continue to rumble on. And it's very sad to have lived here for 3 years and then leave with just so little hope in what the situation is going to be here. When it comes to covering Syria, I've covered the Syrian conflict from the Jordanian border, the Lebanese border, and the Turkish border. And it's, again, becoming very hard to cover that story as well because of the threat of ISIS. Us journalists, we were told a couple of weeks ago by the FBI that ISIS is looking out for journalists and they're targeting them. Now, that's not a newsflash, but I'm talking about not just in Syria. They have people who are looking for journalists in these border communities, and the threat of being snatched and smuggled into the hands of ISIS is a very direct threat to all of us who are trying to cover the Syrian conflict. So it is becoming a more difficult story to tell, which is so sad for the Syrian people. I mean, almost 3 million people have fled across Syria's borders. It's one of the largest forced migrations since World War II, and yet it just doesn't really make the headlines as much as it used to, unless we're talking about ISIS and not the Syrian people.
Emily Wither with us here at 580KIDO. You know, Emily...
sounded a bit British then.
What will you miss about reporting from that area?
I will miss just how fascinating it is here. And I used to not be so interested in what was going on in the Middle East when I was younger, probably because I didn't really understand it. And once you get here, you learn more about the people, you learn more about the region and the complexities of it, and it's just so fascinating. And I think the thing that I've found the most humbling since being here is that no matter where you are in the region, people are just so determined to not let the threat of terror attacks or difficult things happening to them stop them from going about their daily lives. There is such a sense of dignity here. And, I mean, just as an example, there was the synagogue attack here a couple of days ago in which...
We lost her. Yeah, I got that. All right, there we have it. Our friend Emily Wither leaving us today. We appreciate her contributions, and you just have to wonder at 580KIDO whether the dangers of being there in that region had something to do with her leaving. And we always acknowledge people that have contributed so much to us. We thank her and we wish her well and to be home for the holidays. God bless her. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men, woo-hoo-hoo.
right, 580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning with Dave Burnett as we move along here. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO, a little warmer than it's been in the past. And do want to thank so many people who have stopped out and donated turkeys.
Tonight I'd like to talk with you about immigration.
So he talked to us about immigration, Dave Burnett. A lot of people, as we heard on Fox News Radio and across the country and around the world, are upset with this.
Well, Kevin, I'm not quite sure why you're getting all distracted by this. Maybe just because of your hatred and your racism. Because I know you're out at Walmart. You may not have heard the breaking news today, though.
Okay.
The leader of our state here has made a decision that, just because of the fact you just can't catch all speeders.
Right.
That here in the state, the leader of our state has decided that we're going to go ahead and grant amnesty to all male speeders. And now, not only going to grant amnesty, going to issue a card, because it is still against the law to speed in this state, but issue a card which will allow you to speed, and that card will even be good for your kids, issued to your son. Well, not all your kids, your sons. So this will be a special privilege. It's because it's impossible to arrest everybody for speeding. So going to go ahead and just let those go. Now, there are some provisions that's going to go with this. If you have tickets, you're going to have to pay those tickets. And that way you'll be able to go ahead and speed. So this is just something decided. Don't worry about the state legislature, because there's just no way to catch all the speeders, Kevin. So while you were busy distracted with that news about the president, bigger news here. So now for men, if you get that card, if you come forward and say, yeah, I was a speeder, now you're going to be able to go ahead and speed, because you got, even though it's against the law, you're going to have that card, which will allow you to do so. So pretty cool, huh?
Indeed. Of course, I guess then the laws are don't really apply, yep. I guess, to some people.
No. That's just silly talk that you would think the legislature would, want to have a say-so in that.
Exactly.
It's all facetious, by the way, Gov, if you're waking up this morning going, what? It's all a joke. But is it? Is it that far-fetched that men would be able to speed if you get the card, if you pay the ticket? Oh, and never mind the fact healthcare numbers were faked a little bit. That news snuck out last night because it included dental insurance numbers, or the fact that 5 Gitmo detainees were released yesterday in all of this news as well.
Amazing.
But, you're distracted indeed with your hatred, so go ahead. Tell me about amnesty this morning.
Wow. All right.
Did I hijack the show?
No. We're just warming up the computer here. That's where the dead space is.
I committed to fixing this broken immigration system, and I began by doing what I could to secure our borders. Today, we have more agents and technology deployed to secure our southern border than at any time in our history. And over the past 6 years, illegal border crossings have been cut by more than half.
Wow. He's done a good job with immigration.
Sure, that's kind of like the state police and the local police have got more technology out there stopping speeders than ever before. God, there's still speeders out there.
Yeah, there is indeed. And then you have a lot of people, some locally, talking about that this is a great move, that, amnesty now, and more foreign workers legalized than jobs created. Boy, what does that say?
It's still illegal to come over the border without papers. I might want to point that out.
Is it really?
Yep. Still against the law.
But if you don't enforce the law...
Well, that's why there's the amnesty for speeders.
Now, does that apply to men coming over from Utah?
Speeding?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure.
So men coming over from Montana or Washington, or I mean...
Bad. That's just, it's just showing how big-hearted everyone is.
I see how big-hearted.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, what's he thinking?
I just see a total disregard for the system that has been set in place by our forefathers. Now, you may try to say that, presidents before this, like that evil Ronald Reagan or George Daddy Bush, done the same thing. But no, not really. And not with such disregard. And what's amazing is that none of the networks carried it, but yet Telemundo carried it. The Latin Grammy Awards, or whatever it was, Music Awards, it was preempted for that. But the regular networks don't really want that out in the regular news.
Yeah, that is. You just have to think about this. Why did the networks turn their back on their guy?
Well, you have to request the time of the networks. They don't just go, okay. You have to request the time. There's a formality that you go through as the government, and that request was not submitted.
Right.
So, in other words, we don't really want this speech out there.
Right.
Into the general public, because I think people in general, whether they agree with amnesty or not.
Right.
I think you have to look at the letter of the law and what has happened here and say, is that good for our country that decisions can just be made and with a stroke of the pen, that's the way it is? Tough.
Well, it's interesting because we have the provocateur, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who not only was here yesterday, but he was here yesterday at the subway. And like I said, the show continues on after the show's over here. And he and TPB and myself, we're all going at it. And he's saying, oh, well, the president can do it until Congress holds him accountable. Now, one of the great things that I like about him is he likes to just stir it up so I can just sit there and listen to the reaction. But President Bush didn't do this. President Reagan worked through Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it wasn't a wise thing when President Reagan did it,
right?
In my humble opinion.
Right, it just encouraged more people to come over.
Yeah, and so I guess right now the call to Latin America and to other parts of the world, not just Latin America, by the way, not just targeting there, but to Asia, to the Middle East, is all aboard. Come on, get on in.
I could just hear that song, The Locomotion, right now.
Yeah. I mean, what is it saying to those who have done it properly? We have a gal in our building here who has gone through all the steps to become a legal U.S. citizen, all the paperwork, all the steps, all the things, and something she is very proud of, that she has gone through the steps to do it legally. What does that say to her?
And those people, and Dave, you know this, that have gone through the process legally, it's not a fun process. You have to document. It's almost like you meet with an ICE agent. They treat you, like they're a probation officer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, if you get married, they have to validate your marriage and all these things.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to it. And for those that take the test, all that, there is so much to it to become a citizen of the United States. And of the people I have met that have become citizens, in a lot of ways, they're better citizens than some of the rest of us because they have to learn the system and that there's, three branches to our government. Well, kind of one last night. There's three branches to our government and there's a system and they understand, have to know and answer that. Whereas for a lot of us, we couldn't answer that.
Right.
So for a lot of them, they're more knowledgeable about the way our country works than the person who was blessed enough to be born within the borders.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what do you think Congress is going to do, Dave?
I think this is a big test for the newly elected Congress and Senate. Are you going to stand up to it, or are you just going to let her go?
Because he's almost like calling them out.
Yep. Yep. So, obviously they don't take over until January, but it'll be interesting to see whether they defund it. Or they come back on it and say, no, you're not.
Right.
So,
So I think that's the major news of the day here. I'm trying to think of anything else that has gotten your attention. I guess it's supposed to rain tomorrow, allegedly.
Well, it could be freezing rain tonight. So if you're going out tonight, whether you're going to the movies or state football playoffs or whatever you're doing tonight, because there's a lot of people going out to the new Hunger Games movie tonight.
Right.
Be very careful. Could be very slick around 6, 7 o'clock tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I hope me being selfish, I hope it does have a little freezing rain because I think just the patter of the freezing rain on my Nelson's RV would be just soothing.
No, just the regular rain's good in an RV.
Yeah.
Love that.
It doesn't take much, really.
To please you?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other two stories, by the way, before time gets away from us. Oh. Sounds like an MSN thing. Before time gets away from us is the fact that government health numbers were kind of jerry-rigged now, that they included within it some dental insurance that made the sign-up sound a whole bunch higher than it originally was. That news released yesterday, kind of buried under the immigration news, and the fact that five Gitmo detainees were let go, and officials are fearful those five will go right back into the mix coming against us and work with ISIS.
Now, let me hit you with this real quick. Is it a shock that they fudged the numbers, considering we have Gruber and everybody else, you know, doing the victory dance and saying, well, we misled everybody. I, we're just used to being hosed.
Well, yeah, the thing I was reading last night, I didn't have much of a life late last night, but I was reading, is that, you know, people say, you know, well, insurance companies lie to you all the time. Well, you know what? If they lie, they can be prosecuted and sent to jail. The government can lie and just go, oh, well, and not be held accountable.
Right.
There's a big difference in the private sector deceiving you because court action can be taken against them.
Well, and it comes down to paying your bills. We have to pay our bills. The government doesn't have to pay its bills.
Yeah, and now we're going to start seeing the enforcement of those who do not pay for their health care.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, is not just a $300-and-some-odd fine. It's 2% of your income. Ooh. So you're going to start seeing those fines coming due with taxes this year.
Well, that's a little... And I don't know if you got your property tax bill, but those are going out now.
Oh, yes, I got mine.
Mm-hmm.
It went up from... it went up from like a grand to almost $1,500.
Oh, ho, 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 ho!
Thank you. Hey, happy holidays, everybody. And mine's very typical.
I always like what Art Gregory says. He said, Kevin, we in Idaho, about this time of year, we get very sensitive because our property tax bills come in.
Well, yeah. I looked at mine and went, wait, well, that can't be right. Oh, that is what it said. Yeah, I looked at that. It was just like, oh, my goodness. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Please pay up.
Got to do this. Kevin is out at Walmart, by the way.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Good morning. Serving